Beis Elul, Monday the 5th of September, Rabbi Chaim Shmuel, Pi and Pythagoras.
First Mishnah in Eruvin tells us that if you have a cul-de-sac which has walls on three sides and the fourth and on the fourth side is open to the Rishus HaRabim, so you cannot carry in this model unless you are masakin it either with a lechi, which is a pole stuck into the ground at the entrance, and it's got to be 10 tefachim high, etc. Or with a koiro. A koiro is a plank. Now if you put a plank across the entrance, then you are allowed to carry in this mobile. Now this plank has to be one tefach wide. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, what happens if you have a round plank? You cut off a tree trunk, it is round, circular, and you don't know what the diameter is. You see, you'd have to have a diameter of one tefach, in the same way as if you have a flat koiro, it has to be a tefach. Now, in order to find out whether it's wide enough or not, you'd have to measure the
circumference.
You have to measure the diameter. However, you can't measure the diameter because you don't know where the center is. So therefore, the Mishnah gives us an answer, what you've just said. Measure the diameter. Thank you. Measure the circumference and divide it by three. Divide it by three. So if the circumference is 3, then you know the diameter is 1. And then your koira is all right. So then you can carry in this mobile because you've got the required 1 tefach in width in your koira. Because since it's got a circumference of 3, the diameter is 1. So now there's a Greek letter called pi. I don't know why they chose it, but the Greeks used this letter to demonstrate 3 1/7, because according to the Greek mathematicians, it's not as the Mishnah says, if the circumference is 3, the diameter is 1. It has to be 3 1/7. So, Tosfos asked the kasha. Tosfos knew Greek mathematicians had said that pi equals 22/7, and so it doesn't work, because if you have a circumference of 3 and you divide it by 3 1/7, it's less than 1. So if it's less than 1, it's no good. So Tosfos doesn't answer the kasha. Tosfos just says it's not accurate and leaves it at that. So what's the answer? Says the Magid Mishnah, the answer is this. Min ha-Torah, Rishus HaRabim ha-Yochid needs only 3 walls. When we say you can't carry in a 3-walled mobile, that's the Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon said you need either a lechi or a koira, and if it's a koira, it's got to be 3 tefachim. But since they said that you have to have a koira of a tefach, if so, we bit less than that, since the Rabbanon said it, if it would be a deraisa, it would be a different story. It can't be made through deraisas. But since this koira is a con of the Rabbanon, others say that then it's the koira is deraisa. But the width of the koira is the Rabbanon. So whichever way you have it, it's all right. Because although they knew that pi equals 3 1/7, But they said in this case, pi equals 3, and you've got your width of 1 tefach, and that's all right. However, unfortunately, this doesn't seem to answer the question. Because we find all over Shas, especially in Mishnahs, that pi equals 3, even for Tumah d'Oraisa. We have it all over the place that Tumah d'Oraisa needs to be a proper tefach and less than a tefach that we have. For example, let us say you have a kazayis of a mess there and a keli over here. And you have a plank. Now, does this covering the kazayis in the mess and the keli? Now, does this keli become tomei because of oil mess or not? Depends. If it's a tefach, yes. If it's a mashahu, a hairbreadth less than one tefach, then this keli is tohar. But if it happens to be around, then it depends. If the circumference is 3, the diameter is 1, according to Chazal, and it's tomei. So we see that by Tumah d'Oraisa, the Chachamim also said pi equals 3. So I'm afraid I cannot understand what the Magid Mishnah says. Because pi equals 3, according to Chazal, is everything. Mekel, Machmir, the Raisas, the Rabbonans. Besides which, I have another question which somebody already mentioned to me in a cloakroom, and that is the Yam Shel Shlomo. Yoimer Shlomo, sorry, there's something wrong with me this morning. I'll tell you what's wrong with me. I had the bar mitzvah last night in Stafford Hill. And I came home rather late. And I still needed some sleep. Anyway, I'll do my best. I shouldn't have chosen Monday. Right. Now, the Yam Shel Shlomo was made of copper. It had a square base and a round top. And the Novi, who wrote Sefer Melachim?
Yirmiyah.
Thank you, Yirmiyah. And the Novi Yirmiyah tells us that its diameter was 10 and its circumference was 30. Pi equals 3. So what do we make out of that? So the Vilna Gaon says the following. Or let us put it first this way. Lehalocha, we have a Gemara all over three places in Shas, I think, where it says, Shi'urim ahalocha lemoshe Messinai. Now this is one of the Shi'urim, which is halocha lemoshe Messinai, pi equals 3. That is halocha, in plain words, Rabbi Shem told Moshe, when it comes to practical halocha, and you've got round articles and you cannot work out the diameter, then you should take pi as 3. Rabbi Shem knows it's 3 1/7, but when it comes to us ordinary human beings, we, in the old days especially, didn't have any accurate measurements, way of measuring things. So the law of Moshe Messina is pi equals 3. But practically it's not. So what do you do with the Yam Shel Shlomo? So the Gom says the following. The word of circumference in the Yam Shel Shlomo is Kav. The Kav Shloishim Amo Yosuv Oisai. Now how do you spell the word Kav? Kuf Vav. Yes. And it's a Kriyuk Siv. There's an extra hay there. Now, the Malbim, yes, the Kav is spelled Kuf Vav Hei. Now, The Malvim tells us in his introduction to Sefer Yirmiyah that every kri uksiv has a profound meaning. The Novi didn't want to put it for everybody to understand, so the sodos of the Torah are hidden and buried in the kri uksiv. What is the secret of the kri uksiv? Says the Gaon like this. If you take what the Novi says, the Kav was 30, and you multiply it by Kufov would be 106. And Kuf Vav He is 111. Now guess what you get if you multiply 30, you get 31.41 pi. So Merumaz in the Novi's description of the Yam Shel Shloima, on the one hand you have the practical halach, which is pi equals 3, and you also have the factual measurement that pi equals 3 and a second. That is the Vilna Gaon's chiddush. Now, you can't see it. It says 30.
This is the sid,
and this is the kri. So if you multiply the 30 by the sid over the kri, you get to 31.4.
It should be 3.1.
Yes, well, we're talking about the yam was 30.
The yam.
So, what the Gaon is saying is, when the Novi says the yam is 30, he meant it with this kav kriuk siv, which gives you 31.4, which any Greek mathematician will tell you. If you tell the Greek mathematician this Yam Shel Shloima at the top has a diameter of 10, what is the circumference? He'll tell you 31.4. Yeah, well, this is 10.
And it just happens to be 10 times pi.
So is he saying that although the Possum says that the diameter, that the circumference was 30,
exactly.
It's the rumours that the true circumference was 31.4.
But taken as a halacha, pi equals 3. So the Novi is able to put both things into the equation. On that one hand, he tells us how Mima Firtzah is pi equals 3. But the truth of the matter is, pi equals 3.14.
The yam itself, what size was that?
3.14.
The yam itself was 5 amos high. Now, what was the function of this yam?
How big was the yam?
Huh?
How big was the yam?
The Mishnah tells us that at the entrance to the second base Hamikdosh, there was a standard amah carved in stone. There were two. Yeah, one was the real amah. The other one was a bit bigger because the workers who built had to be paid for their work and were paid per amah. Every amah of stonework, they were paid so much. So for them, the amah was made a wee bit bigger, so they shouldn't be moil, chas v'sholem. Now, let's get back to the Yam Shel Shloima. What was its function? As far as I'm concerned, it was just decorative. But no. It was filled with water, and when the ordinary mikveh was not available, there were too many kohanim using the mikveh, they toiveled themselves in the Yam Shel Shloima. Question, of course, is Yam Shel Shloima was a keli, and you cannot toivel in a keli. So Tosfos says, that there was a hole in the bottom. And this hole in the bottom let the water out into the river, which ran through the Beis HaMikdash, through the Azorah. Now that is the halacha, that if you... I mean, how do our mikvahs work? With Hashoka. We toil ourselves in tap water, but why is it a mikvah? Because there's a Hashoka to the rainwater. And that is how it worked. So there was a Hashoka to the stream, and that is why it was a kosher mikvah. Incidentally, we've got an interesting halacha in Hilchas Ntilas Yudayim. What happens, I want to do the Ntilas Yudayim, and all I've got is a leaky bucket. How is that going to work? You can't put your hand into a leaky bucket, and you can't pour water. But if you hold this leaky bucket over some natural water, and there is a hashoka, then you can dip your hands into this rag, this rough leaky bucket, and you've got proper Ntilas Yudayim. It's as though you were toiling them in the natural water.
Might as well go directly into the natural water.
Well, let's say, I once was walking along the bank of the River Thames. The Thames was not flowing very strongly, and from where I was, there was about a 15-foot drop. I couldn't extend my armour, doesn't reach 15 hours. But with a bucket with some water in it, I hold it over the river, and the water from the bucket goes into the river, and I can dip my hands in the bucket, and it's considered as though it was dipped in the River Thames.
Yeah, once it's running out.
Yes.
It's a
church. Yeah, well, there's a chibur.
It's a church. It's a stream of water. Water was gone. Yeah. Understood? Connected to the Thames.
Right, Rabbi Chassal Siddur Pai. Now we go on to Pythagoras. Now, I'm sure you all know the theorem of Pythagoras, which says that if you have a right angled triangle, now, this, let us say, is 3, this is 4, and what is this, the hypotenuse, what is it?
5.
Exactly 5, why? Because the 3 times 3 is 9, 4 times 4 is 16, 69 is 25, the square root of 25 is 5. Yeah. That is the theorem of Pythagoras, as I was taught in school more than 60 years ago. Now, so therefore, what happens if you have two sides, each is 1? How big is this side? So it's the square root of 2, because 1 squared is 1, 1 squared is 1, 1 and 1 is 2, squared equals 1.41, etc. Right. Now, what do Chazal say? Chazal say that in this case, this is exactly 2. No more and no less. It is 2, not 2.1. Sorry. 1.4. Whereas in fact it's 1.41 something, etc. So again, Tosfos says, it's not right, it's not accurate. The Chachmei Hamidrash say that this is right, and 1.4 is inaccurate. It's 1.4 something. Now, how does Tosfos prove that the Chachmei Hamidrash are right, and the Chachmei Gemara are a little bit, inaccurate. How does he prove it? A very interesting proof. It says you draw a square, and then you divide of 10, the tenths, and so I'm not going to draw them all. Then you draw, right, so how many squares will you have?
100,
right. Now, you take the midpoint of the 4 and join them. Now, since
this is the midpoint, then therefore there must be 50 inside and 50 on the other side. But according to Chazal, if from here to here is 5, then this must be 7. So you have 5 and 5, here 5, here 5, here. Then the hypotenuse is 7. Now, what's 7 times 7?
Don't you know what it is?
Ah, but we've got 50. So it's out by 2%. So Tosfos proves that the Chachmei Hamidus are right, and that when the Gemara says the square root of 2 is 1.4 exactly, it's not accurate. To which the answer we have already given. That there's halacha of Moshe in Sinai in Shi'urim. And the Rabbi Shem told Moshe on Har Sinai that when you measure things, when you have a hypotenuse, then take that the square root of 2 is 1.4 exactly. And of course the Rabbi Shem knew it's out by 2%, but for us human beings, when we go around our daily life, we don't have to be that accurate, and an accuracy of which 98% accuracy, that is good enough. As come Pythagoras. Actually, I remember my grandchildren, of course, went to a frumer school than I did. And, I was in the Israel Torah some 70 years ago, and we had a mathematics books, and the plus sign, well, you know what a plus sign is in mathematics, but not my granddaughter, oh no, that's a tailor, you know, that's not kosher. So they, what do? Well, they have to have a, so they knock off the top bit. So that's the addition. So I learned something from my granddaughter, that in the Haredische Welt, the sign for plus in mathematics is a T. The top bit is missing, sorry. Now, I haven't seen what they do with a pi. In my humble opinion, pi is not kosher. It's a non-kosher pi, because it reminds me of Stonehenge. It's a joke. Stonehenge is Avodah Zorah. On the 21st of June, Midsummer's Day, the first rays of the sun go exactly in between the big two stones. I'm sorry to tell you, very sorry, that I've been many times in Eretz Yisrael, and one of my favorite spots is Gamla, and in Gamla and other places, there are these Avodah Zorah things, two stones next to each other and one on top. The Mishnah calls it Marculis. Now, I, of course, being an Orthodox and devout Jew, would want to destroy it. But number one, I don't have a koyach, the heavy, massive stones. And number two, I don't want to land up in jail. So, but it's a very sad story. These are remnants of the Avodah Zorah. And we said, Yibadatem.
Sure, sure.
However, pardon?
Were they actually worshipped, these big stones instead
yes.
of the same
Joseph? The sun.
Yeah, the Mishnah.
They might have worshipped there, but they didn't worship these stones.
Why yeah, well, the Mishnah tells us that this is the Avodah Zorah called Marculis. Marculis is an Avodah Zorah, and like a coconut shy, you throw stones at it. That is the Avodah. It might be a bit strange. Well, Pa'oya is even stranger. It's nasty piece of Avodah. But that is, if you relieve yourself in front of Pa'oya, you're Chayiv Misa. Anyway, ad kam the mathematics. Now, we go on to something this week's Sedra. The Pasuk says, Yad Ho'edim, Tiyaboy Bo'chon Olaham Yisoy. The Edom are those who administer the death penalty. If two Edom come and say the seed of Machal Shabbos or the Zohar or whatever, Yad Ho Edom Tiyaboy Borishoino Laham Yisrael. Now, some of you are old enough to remember Mr. Pierpoint. Do you remember Mr. Pierpoint?
The last hangman.
He was employed by the British government to hang criminals. And this has always been, in this civilized country of ours, when, as long as they had the death penalty, they had a hangman, a man employed by the government to hang people. Now the Torah obviously doesn't believe in it. The Torah says, "Di'at ha'edim tiyaboy v'rishon." Why not? So I think the answer is like this. Whenever you see or hear something good and wholesome, it makes a good impression. If you see or hear something unwholesome, then it makes a bad impression on you. Now let us say we are all Shomrei Shabbos. But unfortunately we see, two of us, we see a man smoking a cigarette on Shabbos. We tell him, "You mustn't do it, it's Shabbos." "Ah, go and jump in the river." So we go to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din sentence him to death. Yad ho edim tiyaboy rishon. Why? Because the edim who saw this blatant chilul Shabbos, their respect for Shabbos has gone down a bit. By seeing chilul Shabbos, your respect has gone downhill. And in order to restore your former respect for chilul Shabbos, for Shmiras Shabbos, you have to kill the person who did it. So with both hands you push him off the scaffold and you see him land and dead. So now your respect for Shabbos is restored to what it was before. Now this is in this week's Sedra. The Torah says, Tochin lecho haderech. The way to the Orei Miklot must be signposted. Rashi says, every crossroads there was a pointer this way to the Miklot. Now, how many people ever needed this? We are a peace-loving people, murderers, a very few, Baruch Hashem, between us. How many people ever needed it? But, says Asa Chofetz Chaim Abom Bekasha, what about Oile Regel? Millions of people after you are illegal. Why doesn't the Torah say Tochin lecho haderech l'Yerushalayim? And this is what the Chofetz Chaim answers. Imagine you are a worker working in a field next to the main road. Now, somebody tell me which is the way to the Miklot. So now you know what? Murder has been committed. And your respect for human life has gone down a little bit. So the Rebbe doesn't want us to hear Chava which way. So it's signposted so that the criminal doesn't have to ask anybody and nobody is aware of why he's going that way. He might be going for the high. Whereas, what does the Rebbe want? He wants people to say to the farmer, "Tell me, Rabbi, which is the way to Yerushalayim?" That's what we want to hear. Yidna oile regel. Yidn bringing karbonos, yidn bringing bikurim, that's something you want to hear. So, therefore, the roads of Yerushalayim were not signposted. So, all the oil of the Rebbe had to ask. And this brings a feeling of warmth, of chibur mitzvah to the farmers. Whereas, which way to the Miklot, something which we don't want to hear.